Chapter 19. The task force had emerged from hyperspace in perfect crescent formation, and the luminous green disk of the planet Relifon was already swelling in the Anakin's bridge viewport. The world was one of those truly massive gas giants on the verge of becoming a star itself, the tremendous pressures in its core releasing enough energy to bathe its horde of moons in a life-sustaining blanket of heat and light. Jason did not notice the tiny saucers of any battle dragons silhouetted against the pale glow, nor see the blue slivers of even one efflux tail streaking in to intercept the task force Tenelka had sent to arrest Algray. Still, he had a cold prickle along his spine and an uneasy emptiness in his stomach. The minutes after a fleet emerged from hyperspace were always its most hectic and vulnerable, with the sensor officers struggling to calibrate their instruments and the hangar chiefs rushing to launch a fighter screen. It was the ideal time for an attack, and Jason could feel one coming. Unfortunately, he had no idea from where. The advance scouts had reported only an alarming inability to locate the enemy fleet, and Algray's commander was certainly in no rush to reveal her position. "Major Aspara, I find this odd." Jason was addressing Major Morim Aspara of the Hapen Royal Guard, whom Tenelka had assigned to serve as his advisor and command liaison. Along with a handful of aides, they were standing together on the observation balcony overlooking the Anakin's busy bridge. "Wouldn't Dutcha Algray be deploying her fleet by now?"
"She would if it were here."
A tall woman with silky black hair and alabaster skin, Aspara was dressed in a pale blue uniform that managed to look both military and stylish.
"Even if she were innocent, she'd be troubled enough by our arrival to make a show of force."
Jason remained silent, concentrating on what he was feeling through the force. He could not sense the source of the danger, but the prickle along his spine felt as if it was about to erupt into hives.
"We're too late," Aspara continued,
as though Jason were not astute enough to understand what she had said.
"The coup must be moving faster than the Queen Mother realized. The usurpers are going into open revolt."
Jason began to expand his force awareness rapidly, but the population of the Relifon moons was too scattered to glean anything useful. The planet was ringed by at least 30 major population centers and hundreds of smaller concentrations, and none of them felt particularly hostile.
"Colonel Solo," Aspara asked, "did you hear what I just said? The Algray fleet is probably on its way to Hapes."
"Your aides?" Jason asked, still troubled by his premonitions. "How many did you bring?"
"You think someone betrayed our mission?"
Aspara glanced toward the two female officers behind her.
"I assure you, Bayel and Ro are above suspicion."
"How many?"
This time Jason put the power of the Force behind his words. Aspara shrank back.
"Just Bayel and Ro."
"What about your pilots?" Jason demanded. "Were they personal staff?"
Aspara shook her head.
"They were from the Royal Transportation Pool."
The empty feeling in Jason's stomach turned to a cold void. Whatever had gone wrong, it had started with the pilots.
"But I don't see how they could have betrayed us,"
Aspara continued.
"Even if they were traitors, all they did was ferry me into orbit. They might have noticed the Anakin making preparations to get underway, but they wouldn't have known to where."
"That might have been enough," Jason said.
He turned to his aide, a genet named Orlop.
"Ask Commander Twizzle for a threat report."
"I've been monitoring that continuously."
With a pink snout, wet nostrils, and smirking upper lip that did not quite cover his yellow fangs, Orlop cut a menacing figure in his black GAG uniform.
"There don't seem to be any threats, A junior garrison commander is demanding to know our intentions, though she hasn't deployed her defenses yet.
She wants to avoid giving us an excuse to attack,
Espara surmised.
That confirms the main fleet has departed. Colonel Solo, we must return to Hapes at once. If the Queen Mother is not under attack already...
Jason did not hear the rest of Espara's complaint, for he had turned away and was rushing off the observation balcony. The threat seemed more immediate than ever, and if it was not coming from outside the Anakin, then it had to be coming from inside.
"Colonel Solo," Espara called, following behind. "We're in the middle of an action here."
Espara's confusion was understandable. Even she did not know that Tenel Ka had left Alana aboard the Anakin, and she certainly didn't know that Jason's parents had provided intelligence suggesting that Aura Singh's primary target would be the child. As he raced for the lift tube, Jason's comlink chimed for attention. He pulled it off his belt and opened the channel.
"You know who this is?"
asked a wispy voice. "Double X," Jason replied. "What is it?"
"You ordered me to report if anyone attempted to enter the girl's cabin,"
the security droid replied.
"I'm reporting."
Jason's stomach sank. "I was afraid of that."
"What are my orders?"
SDXX asked.
"Evaporate them?"
"No," Jason said. His briefing on Aura Singh had suggested that evaporating her would be beyond the security droid's capabilities. "Stay out of sight and frustrate her attempts to enter. I'm on my way." Jason opened a channel to bridge security. "Execute a level one lockdown." He did not bother identifying himself, as his name would already be displayed on the duty officer's data screen. "This is not a drill."
"Level one, Colonel?"
"Affirmative." Jason reached the lift tube and stepped inside, not bothering to acknowledge the crisp salutes from the two GAG sentries stationed there.
"Now!"
"I'm sorry, sir," the officer replied. "We can't lock down while we're at battle stations. The crew needs to move freely."
"Then go to level two," Jason ordered.
He would have canceled battle stations, except the order would have to go through Commander Twizzle, who would demand a confirmation and an explanation Jason had no time to provide. The assassin, assuming Singh was the danger he had been sensing, had chosen her moment well, when the priorities of a Star Destroyer ready to enter battle took precedence over the safety of even her most important passenger. Alarm horns began to beep over the Anakin's intercom, indicating that the level two security protocols Jason had ordered were now in effect. Armed guards would be posted at every lift tube and bulkhead hatch with orders to detain anyone lacking proper identification. Anyone who resisted would be blasted. Jason did not think those precautions would make the slightest difference to Aura Singh. When he arrived at the commander's deck, he found the lift sentries lying on the floor with smoke rising from their blaster-scorched faces. A dozen paces down the corridor, two more guards were down outside the Sov stateroom, the quarters assigned to visiting dignitaries, and there was smoke pouring from the cabin. He unclipped his lightsaber and rushed forward. Jason's mind was whirling with dark fears and black furies. For the first time since his imprisonment by the Yuuzhan Vong, he truly wanted to hurt someone, to make them pay in agony and anguish for their vile actions. And if Alana were to die, he did not see where he would find the strength to carry on with his mission. Who would want to save a galaxy that could abide the murder of his own innocent daughter? As Jason approached the Sov stateroom, one of the guards began to moan for help. The fellow's torso had been cleaved at an upward angle by something hot and long, and his fading force presence suggested he would die if he did not receive help soon. An abandoned lock slicer hung on the keypad above his head, and a still crackling arc had been cut through the double doors. Leaving the stateroom uninspected, and the guard to die where he lay, Jason continued down the long corridor. The low hum of a lightsaber cutting metal was droning around the corner ahead, where the entrance to his own stateroom was located. He extended his force awareness into his own quarters and was relieved to feel the presence of his daughter somewhere near the back of the cabin, approximately where the refresher was located. She seemed curious and not at all frightened. Suddenly, Alana responded to Jason's contact, filling the force with surprise and delight. She seemed to recognize his touch and be happy about it, and that filled him with pride and joy, and an even greater determination to catch Singh before she found his daughter. But their contact was shattered by the intrusion of a cold presence, gleefully pouring its murderous intent into the force. Alana reeled back in shock and vanished, leaving Jason alone with the assassin's presence. Then the humming of the lightsaber suddenly assumed a higher pitch, and a loud clang sounded as a freshly cut panel of security door fell to the floor. In the next instant, a brilliant orange flash lit the corridor ahead, accompanied by the crashing whoomph of a concussion grenade, launched, no doubt, by Alana's defender droid, Didi. Jason paused a moment to be sure there would not be another grenade, then rounded the corner when he began to hear the shrieking of Didi's blaster cannon. The corridor ahead was so filled with smoke and blaster fire that it looked like the inside of a thunderstorm. Singh was a pale ghost in a red bodysuit, battling through the hole she had cut in Jason's door, surrounding herself in crimson snakes of light as she used her lightsaber to bat aside Didi's attacks. Jason drew his sidearm and fired on the run, hoping to blast the assassin in the back while she was too overwhelmed to defend herself. Singh dropped into a forward roll and vanished through the door. An instant later, her lightsaber whined half a dozen times, and Didi's blaster cannon fell silent. Aura Singh was alone in Jason's stateroom, and with her force abilities, it would take her only a second to find his daughter. He stopped a few paces from the door and reached out to the assassin in the force. "Wait." Jason spoke the word with his mind instead of his mouth. At the same time, he was expanding his force presence into Singh's mind, opening himself fully to the force and using its power to push himself deeper into her mind, to crush her own presence and force it deep down into the bottom of her being. "Wait," he repeated. Singh fought back, trying to push him from her mind, but Jason had taken her by surprise. He had the power of his anger and his fear and his hatred behind him, and she simply was not strong enough. Jason started forward again, then dropped his blaster pistol and retrieved his comlink. "Double X, open!" The doors to his stateroom slid open, grating loudly as the damaged area scraped past the jams. Jason stepped into the foyer of his suite, where beads of molten durasteel were still popping and hissing on the stone decking. To his right, the walls above the galley and dining area were pocked with scorch marks. Alana's defender droid lay to his left, a heap of severed limbs and smoking circuits scattered along the edge of a sunken conversation area. Singh stood with her back to Jason, about 5 paces beyond the droid on the other side of a smoldering couch. In one hand she held her still-ignited lightsaber. In the other was a Class C thermal detonator with a disintegration radius large enough to kill herself, Jason, Alana, and probably half the personnel on the decks directly above and below. As Jason started toward her, she looked over her shoulder with an expression in her pale eyes that seemed equal parts hatred and awe.
"Don't ever touch me like that again."
Jason did not reply. Singh was still struggling to free herself of his domination, and all his concentration was focused on keeping the pressure on until he drew close enough to strike. Singh flashed him a cold smile.
"But then, I don't think you'll have the chance,"
Her thumb twitched. The activation light on the thermal detonator began to blink, and that was enough to shatter Jason's concentration. He felt Sing slip free, and suddenly he was completely outside her mind, watching in horror as she pitched the detonator toward the refresher where Alana was hiding. Jason's heart dropped through the bottom of his stomach. His arm shot out without conscious thought, and the detonator floated into his hand almost before he realized he had summoned it. Sing was already whirling, leaping toward him with her crimson blade coming around at neck height. Jason brought his lightsaber up automatically and blocked, then pulled the detonator's thumb slide back. He never saw whether the activation light darkened. Suddenly, Sing's knee was sinking into his stomach, driving the breath from his lungs and sending him tumbling over a couch. The detonator clattered to the floor somewhere in the galley. He came down on a beverage table, smashing it apart. Then Sing was over him, her crimson blade arcing down. Jason whipped his lightsaber around to block, catching her blade about halfway up the shaft and filling the air with a sizzling shower of sparks. Sing grabbed her hilt with both hands and began to push, slowly driving the tip of her lightsaber down toward his eye. The glow was as blinding as the heat was searing, and Jason's vision blossomed into a fiery red blur. He brought his free hand up to brace his weapon arm and tried not to worry about whether his eyeball would melt, not daring to turn his head or even look away for fear that he would slip. Sing kicked him in the side. The tip of a small, wedge-shaped blade scraped across his ribs and sent a blazing bolt of pain shooting into his body.
"Never!"
She kicked him again, sending another bolt of pain deep into his stomach.
"Violet!"
She kicked again.
"My!"
Another kick. More pain.
"Mind!"
Sing kicked again, this time catching him near a kidney. A wave of fiery anguish rolled through his body, stealing his breath, so hot he could not even scream. The pain would have paralyzed anyone else, left him on the floor praying to die before he drew his next breath. But pain was an old friend of Jason's. He had learned to embrace it during his imprisonment among the Yuuzhan Vong, and now it no longer troubled him. Now it served him. He turned the palm of his bracing hand toward Sing and pushed with the force. The move did not surprise her as much as he had hoped. As she flew away, Sing rolled the tip of her blade over his, and his lightsaber went flying. He held his force shove until he heard her thud into the wall opposite, then sprang to his feet. A fiery blur continued to blind one eye, and his sight in the other was still splashed with crimson blotches. But he could see clearly enough to be worried. Sing had landed near the refresher where Alana was hiding, close enough to fulfill her contract, if she was willing to risk Jason attacking her from behind. Jason did not give her that chance. He opened himself fully to his fear and anger, using the power of his emotions to bring the force flooding into him, and his body began to crackle and burn with dark energy. He raised his arms in Sing's direction, hands held level and fingers splayed wide. That was when the door to the refresher hissed open, and a pair of small gray eyes peered out. They were wide open, and locked on Jason with an expression that might have been awe, or fear, or both.
"No, Alana!"
Jason could not bring himself to release the force lightning while she was watching. Even if Tenel Ka had not yet taught her that the dark side was evil, his own childhood training remained strongly enough ingrained that he did not want his daughter to see him using it.
"Close the—"
Jason had to let the order trail off when Sing took advantage of his hesitation to leap at him. Alana screamed from inside the refresher. Then Sing was 3 paces away, lightsaber coming in for a mid-body strike. Jason lifted one foot as though to pivot away, and Sing took the bait and stopped, dropping one leg back as she continued her swing. Instead of spinning past as he fainted, Jason cartwheeled over her blade and came down on the other side. Sing reversed her attack so fast he barely had time to grab her wrist, much less turn her own weapon against her as he had intended. So Jason kicked her in the knee as hard as he could. The joint dislocated with a sickening pop, and Singh collapsed to the floor, shrieking. But she did not release her lightsaber. She did not even stop fighting, rolling into him in an effort to break his grasp and slash him open. Jason started to pivot out of the way, intending to bring her arm around for a clean break behind her back. But Alana suddenly appeared on the other side of Singh, charging forward with her dark brows lowered and what looked like a small recording rod clutched in her hands.
"Alana, no!"
Alana kept coming, determined to keep Singh from striking out at his daughter with any of her weapons. Jason force-leapt backward, dragging the assassin away from his daughter. Alana took two more steps and raised the silver rod over her head, then dived. Singh raised her uninjured leg, cocking her foot to kick Alana with the stubby knife in the toe of her boot. Jason screamed and whipped Singh's arm around, twisting her away from his daughter. Her lightsaber flashed by so close he nearly lost an ear, but the assassin's legs spun around with her body, and the kick knife flashed past half a meter above Alana's head. Alana landed on Singh's other leg and jammed the silver rod into her injured knee. The hiss of an auto-injector sounded from its tip, and Singh cried out in astonishment.
"You little shrew!"
Singh drew her leg back again to kick, then let it drop to the floor. Her eyes widened in anger, or perhaps it was fear. She craned her neck around, staring at Alana, and began to convulse. Jason quickly pulled Singh's lightsaber from her unresisting hand, then held the still-ignited tip to the assassin's neck.
"Alana, what—"
"She'll be all right, Jason."
Alana sat up and straddled the assassin's leg, no longer afraid, if she ever had been.
"It was just my safety stick."
"Okay."
Jason was too numb and relieved to ask more, or to chastise Alana for not staying in the refresher. He simply waved her off Singh's legs.
"Get off. She could still be dangerous."
"That's not what Dr. Miala says."
Despite her protest, Alana climbed off Singh's legs.
"She says the bad person won't be dangerous again until someone gives her the antidote."
Alana came to Jason's side, then squatted and looked into Singh's hate-maddened eyes.
"But don't be scared," she said. "Jedi never kill helpless people, even bad ones like you."
"That's right."
Jason took Alana's hand, and, surprised by how right her words felt, pulled her up to stand at his side.
"We just put them in a confinement facility for a very, very long time."